A retirement crisis is bearing down on workers of all ages. We used to have company pensions and retiree health benefits. Now it's more do-yourself or do-it-yourself with 401ks, IRAs, multiple-choice Medicare supplement plans. And working into retirement in the form of a second or third part-time job is becoming the norm. This is not your mom's or dad's retirement. There are no gold watches anymore. Instead, it's nervous moments watching the stock market fluctuate and pondering what that's doing to your retirement income. This evolution has not happened overnight. Some changes we're seeing now began more than 30 years ago. So what does this new retirement landscape mean? What should you do to get ready to quit work? Joining us by phone from Florida is Shana Steiner. She is an investment analyst with Bankrate.com. Shana Steiner, welcome to KNPR.
Hi, thank you.
After World War II, retirement protections were strengthened, but a big change came in 1981, about 33 years ago. Why is that year so significant for retirees and those who want to retire?
Well, that was the year that the Treasury Department made 401k accounts available to all workers. The 401k only came into being in 1980, and it was mostly for highly compensated executives, but the Reagan administration made it available to everyone in 1981.
Why did companies decide it was better to replace traditional pensions with 401ks?
Well, it reduced their cost, for one thing, but it also gave employees a way to defer some of their income and reduce their income tax.
So what changed with the advent of 401ks? What is the fundamental difference between 401ks and the traditional pensions that we might have thought of a generation or two ago?
It puts all of the risk and responsibility onto the individual, whereas a pension would spread all the investment risk among a pool of participants. 401k puts all the risk on the individual, and they also are responsible for doing all the saving and all the investment decisions.
Okay, so what, to your way of thinking, is wrong with investing primarily in 401ks for retirement?
Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with it necessarily, except that people do have this burden of saving, which is difficult, and they also take on all of the investment risk, and they have to know a lot about investing in order to really succeed at it over the long term.
Now, also joining us for this conversation is Barry Gold, the Director of Government Relations for AARP in Nevada. Barry Gold, welcome back to KNPR.
Well, thanks so much.
The promise of 401ks is that people would do better if they were investing on their own. I gather you don't think that has worked all that well.
Well, I think people need to, as she said earlier, people need to take that responsibility to do that savings, and they need to make sure that they participate, because a lot of the 401ks are voluntary. So people say, well, you know, I might choose not to do that, or I'll just put a small amount in. If people do have 401ks, they need to put in as much as they can, because a lot of companies will match that. And AARP actually has been urging more companies to offer 401ks, as well as maybe to have an auto 401k where they're mandatory, that they're offered to people.
Has AARP come out in favor of any sort of mandatory pension? Just saying this is something that should absolutely be codified and should be there for everybody.
AARP has supported auto IRAs in Congress before, that it be part of a standard package of employee benefits, yes.
Now, a lot of baby boomers who were getting ready to retire watched the stock market with horror about 6 or 7 years ago during the financial crisis. On the other hand, the stock market has rebounded to a large degree. So aren't 401ks pretty much back where they were, recovered losses?
Well, I think people need to look at it's a multiple stool they talk about for retirement. You know, there's Social Security, there's savings, there's pensions or 401ks, as well as health care. So it's a package of retirement benefits people need to look at and need to take the time to learn more about that and all the things that they need to do, because it is a multiple legged stool that they need to rely on for retirement.
No, I take that point and that image. On the other hand, the leg of the stool that is 401ks and things like them, isn't that leg of the stool back to about where it should be?
Well, I think it's one tool that people need to pay attention to, but you know,
But how are they doing though? I mean, people have got 401ks. Have they recovered the losses from 2008, 2009?
Well, I'm not an expert on that, but I think some people have done very well and some people haven't.
Mm-hmm. Shana Steiner, I guess I should ask you this question as well, since you're an investing analyst. What has happened with 401ks since things bottomed out?
Well, it depends on what you did when the stock market tanked in 2008 and 2009. If you stayed in your investments and kept contributing to your account, then you've probably recovered. You've probably seen your account balance, you know, skyrocket back up, and it's better than it was, certainly. But a lot of people get nervous when they see their account balance start to go down. And they jump out of their investments. Maybe they think, why am I even contributing to this account since it's not doing well? So as long as you stay invested and keep contributing, as the stock market rebounds, you did pretty well. But that is the trick, just kind of ignoring it when things look really scary.
So have people, Shana Steiner, recovered their wealth, the wealth that they lost 6-7 years ago?
Yeah, I think largely they have. Mm-hmm. There's been lots of research showing that, you know, wealthy people have recovered a lot of the losses from those years. But people who've lost their jobs, people who were underwater on their mortgages, you know, more of the middle class and lower middle class are still struggling.
Now, we do live in a city, Las Vegas, where some people lost darn near everything. Lost homes due to foreclosure, lost retirement funds, things of that sort. I imagine they would be listening to this conversation thinking the 401k-based retirement system is not such a winner, at least for us. What is your take on that? Has it become something of a failed experiment?
It depends on your perspective, honestly. If you have a lot of money to save, and you can benefit from the tax advantages that you get from 401ks, then it's a winner. You have to have a good investing plan. You have to be able to save, and you have to be able to stick with it. If you, you know, are living paycheck to paycheck, have a lot of debt, or just simply don't make enough money to really put away a significant amount of money, you're not benefiting necessarily as much as someone who earns a lot of money. And that's one criticism of the 401k system. You know, that it benefits highly compensated people the most while leaving out people who don't make as much money.
Okay, so Barry Gold, is this a part of what AARP has expressed concern about recently, the idea that maybe the 401k-dominated system is making more of us poor or keeping more of us poor than it perhaps should be?
Well, I think people need to look at a multiple variety of savings resources because less than 50% of people have access to retirement accounts through their jobs anyway, so 401ks may not be available to them. So they need to look at the other savings vehicles, whether it be money market accounts, IRAs, things like that. So what AARP is doing is we're offering some series of workshops for people to get some kind of basic financial literacy in terms of what is available, how to save, as well as, you know, people may be saving, but a recent study found out that almost 40% of people, when they were getting ready to retire, had as much credit card debt as they had savings. So that's another problem people are facing.
If you're just joining us, we are talking about retirement and what you can do to make it more secure. And we are going to want to hear from you over the course of this conversation. Will you be looking for a part-time job to supplement your savings? Are your savings adequate for your retirement? In a few moments, we will begin to take your calls and questions and your comments. Join us. We'd like to hear from you at 702-258-3552. That's 258-3552. Write us on Twitter if you like. You can tweet us anytime at KNPR News, and you can also write to us online. Our web address is knprnews.org. Shana Steiner, the Great Recession and the financial crisis of 2008, as I mentioned a couple moments ago, really inflicted a beating on a lot of retirement accounts, particularly in places like Nevada. What are the chances that another crisis like that could strike in the future?
Well, the chances are pretty good. I think that, you know, it's likely that something will happen in the future that will definitely affect the stock market. We can all count on the fact that it's going to go down probably significantly sometime in the future.
When you say sometime in the future, I mean, should we all be swallowing hard right now, or is this something that's going to be well down the road?
You know, if I could tell you, I would be a very rich person.
Yeah, touche.
Sure. But, you know,
but are we talking decades? Are we talking you know, months, just a few years? What's
you know,
your take on that?
I honestly wish I could tell you. We've had two, 100-year floods in the past decade. There was the tech meltdown at the turn of the century, And then we had the housing crisis in 2008, 2009 that affected the stock market. And to say, what's going to be the next thing, that's very difficult. Will it be a decade or two? Who knows? But what you can do is you can, set up your investments to really weather those kind of downturns. You don't know when it's going to happen, but you can be certain that something is going to happen at some point. And so you should plan for that. Don't take on more risk than you're comfortable with, but do have a smart, diversified plan in place that will help you weather those sort of times, because they are going to happen.
Now, for something of a real-world study, if you will, I want to introduce you to Rick James and his wife, Joanne. They are retirees who've lived in Centennial Hills since 2003. Rick and Joanne, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Dave.
Now, Rick James, your path to retirement was different from that of most people. You were a food inspector with the state of New York, and your job came with a pension. How did that change the way you thought about retirement? I mean, have you compared notes with other people who didn't have a pension?
No, I haven't compared notes. We were fortunate enough to have the pension, but by the same token, while we were working, we started a 403B through my wife's work. But with the idea that the pension was there, but they also could take the part of the pension away. So in that respect, we wanted to make sure that we had enough money set aside that we could weather the storm if we had to. We also got involved with financial planners, and we have a well-rounded financial planning. So if we have some stock, it's a low-risk stock, but if for some happen, she has it available so we can go into other areas where we're weather the storm.
Now, you have one other factor in play in your lives, and that is your children's education. Now, you have said that you and Joanne put off saving as much as possible to help pay for your children's education. How did you come to make that decision?
Well, we knew we wanted to try to do as much as we could to educate the kids because we realized that that's where the area was going. So we did save a lot. When we got involved with college, we realized that what we saved up, they couldn't get jobs until that our savings was used up. So they had to get loans on by themselves. They had part-time jobs once our savings was used up. But so we still tried to put as much as we could into helping them through school.
Joanne James, do you remember those conversations?
Oh, I do remember them.
I'll bet you do. What were they like?
Well, we were very disciplined. We knew we had to save money. We knew our first and foremost was to take care of our children, have a home for them and feed them, make sure that they were in activities that would make them well-rounded individuals. And so we were very disciplined.
Well, you're disciplined, but you still made the decision to use retirement savings to pay for the education of your kids.
Yes.
Why did you make that decision rather than tell the kids you need to find some low-interest loans?
Well, I worked in the guidance office at our local high school, so I was privy to a lot of inside information. I knew that students could not get financial aid until they used up their parents' savings. Unfortunately, even our mortgage at that time didn't count. So we really basically, in order for them to get loans, had to use our savings.
Did that cost you? What's the real world cost that you and Rick have had to pay for using savings for that instead of for your retirement?
Well, when I look back at it, there was no choice. We just did that because we brought these children into the world. We figured it was our responsibility to educate them so they could be contributing members of society. Somebody eventually has to pay my Social Security, Dave.
Good point. Shana Steiner, you have said that the correct answer in this kind of a dilemma that the Jameses were facing is to burden your children with the cost of college. And I'm curious to know a little more about that. I mean, isn't a large debt burden at the end of college going to hurt a child's ability to establish herself in her career?
It can. Hmm? It's not an ideal scenario by any means. But the fact is that there are loans available for college. While there's no loans available for retirement, you could get possibly a reverse mortgage or something. But, you're really on your own at the most vulnerable time of your life.
So what do you counsel parents like the Jameses to do when they're looking at this and they've got kids and they're starting to think about college? What do you tell them to do?
Well, first of all, if you can start saving early in a 529 plan, that will go a long way. You'll have 18 years to put away money in a tax-advantaged account, and it'll have time to compound, and you'll be putting away money. That's the ideal scenario. Secondly, my counsel would be to maybe see if you can cut costs, go to an in-state school, go to a community college. There might be lower cost options than going to the most expensive private school that you can get into. It's not ideal, but there are options for people.
Do you see for a family like the Jameses a certain element of a fork in the road? Where do you look at it as telling families you may have to choose between a really solid retirement and paying for your kids' education? Is it possible to have both, or is it really, really difficult?
It comes down to choices and savings, really. Just like everything, you have to get some more money into your savings, and that comes down to spending choices. So maybe you don't live as lavishly as you might have otherwise, not buying new cars, not upgrading your house as often as some people do. It's basically just saving as much as you can for several different goals.
Now, Rick and Joanne, you've got a modest lifestyle.
Yes.
Between the two of you, you've got one car, a two-bedroom townhouse in Centennial Hills. It's paid off, but you've cut back on eating out, and I imagine cut back on a lot of other things as well. Did the recession of 08 and 09 force you to make changes?
Actually, the recession of 08 did not bother us at all. We have a well-diversified financial plan. And we have a financial planner who is always on top of it. The actual thing that hurt us the most with our 403B was 9/11, when the stock market took a hit. That's when our 403B took a big hit.
Hmm. So that was 13 years ago. You
exactly.
took the really big mm-hmm. hit. Now, Rick James, did you and Joanne find that as you got closer to retirement, you decided to save more money? I mean, I imagine you looked at the pension. Did you figure the pension itself with these other things may not be enough?
No, we decided at that time that we should put as much money as we possibly could in the 403B, and because we had a feeling that we need all the background and support we could get when we got into retirement, and fortunately it has worked out well for us. We found that retirement isn't as expensive as we thought. And so we were able to do things that we thought we wouldn't be able to.
So tell us a little bit about that. Not as expensive as you thought.
Well, there's a lot of things we cut back. When we lived in New York, we had a large home. It was on a lake plot. We came here. We came to have a townhouse. That was a big cutback. We had two cars. We cut back to one. We enjoy ourselves. We were able to travel. We use our credit card, but our credit card is always paid off. We don't have anything on the credit card. And it's just a way of us with, I guess, our way of keeping ourselves in that spectrum.
Our number is 702-258-3552. That's 702-258-3552. We are talking about planning for retirement, making it a little bit more secure in an era where the mantra might be you're kind of on your own. Have you got a 401k plan in place? And especially if you are a Generation Y or a millennial, have you begun thinking about elements of your retirement? It's a long ways away, but it is coming. What are you planning to do for it? If you're a baby boomer, what are your plans like as you approach or perhaps surpass the age of 65 and start thinking about your retirement? Please call us. We want to hear from you. If you've got questions or some thoughts, 702-258-3552. That's 702-258-3552. Write to us online at knprnews.org or tweet us at knprnews. We'll start with Maria, who joins us from Las Vegas. Maria, thanks for calling and welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on. Sure. I have a quick question.
Mm-hmm.
I've been told that I should be taking money out of my 401k and put it into Roth IRAs, and I don't know what are the benefits in doing that.
Okay, taking money out of the 401k, putting it into a Roth IRA. Shanna Steiner, what's your counsel to people like Maria?
Well, if your 401k plan offers a Roth contribution account, that might be okay. you can put money into some 401k plans allow you to make Roth contributions. So if your plan does, that would mean that instead of taking the tax deduction and salary reduction of your 401k contribution, you would be putting it in after taxes. And then at retirement, all of the earnings and principal are going to come out tax-free. So that can be beneficial if you think you're going to be in a lower tax bracket in retirement. You would want the traditional 401k contribution. But if you, you know, just make a regular amount of money, you might want to go with the Roth contribution. Now, I'm not sure, though, why you would want to take your Roth money, I mean your 401k money, and put it into a Roth IRA. Now, maybe if you're retiring, you would want to do a rollover IRA.
Yeah. Now, it's, well, it sounds like, Maria,
yes,
it sounds like you've been getting a little bit of advice on this. Why? Maybe Shana's question is the really relevant one, which is, why would you want to do that? Why are you thinking about moving from 401k to Roth IRA?
You know, it was just in discussion, and they mm-hmm. said, why are you not in a Roth account? And I said, well, tell me what are the benefits. Why should I do that when I'm already have a diversified plan in a 401k through my employer?
Okay.
So it seems like I'm on the right track.
Yeah. So, Shana Steiner?
It sounds I have the same question as she does. Why would a Roth IRA be beneficial? The one thing I could think of is perhaps your 401k costs a lot of money, or they don't offer a match. If your 401k, if your employer does offer a match, you would want to stay with that, and also maybe evaluate what kind of fees you're paying. Now, I just wonder if the question was, why aren't you making Roth contributions? Because maybe that would be beneficial. I personally am a big fan of the Roth.
So should I be making Roth contributions also in addition?
Well, it would probably be in lieu of the regular contributions.
Okay. So in lieu of the regular contributions would be, the best counsel at this point. Maria, thank you very much for the call. Keep in touch with us as you make that decision. We'd like to know what you end up deciding to do and what direction you go in.
My retirement.
I'm looking forward to moving my bedroom to the first floor.
I just want to watch my equity crumble.
I plan to spend the rest of my retirement going no further than the end of my driveway.
End of the driveway, huh? That's from a commercial for Ericsson Retirement Communities, but it's not hard to find a lot of people who are thinking about their retirement. Maybe haven't planned a lot for it yet, but those days are getting closer and closer. And that's what we're talking about in this conversation, retirement and what you can do to make it more secure. Guests are Rick and Joanne James. They're retired and living in Centennial Hills. Shana Steiner, who is an investing analyst with Bankrate.com, and Barry Gold, Director of Government Relations with AARP in Nevada. If you want to join our conversation, do you have calls and questions? Have you made your plans yet? Do you know where you're headed with your retirement? If you're call and tell us why and what you're thinking about doing down the road as retirement draws near. 702-258-3552 is our number. 702-258-3552. Jack is next in Las Vegas. Jack, thanks for calling and welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Certainly. You're on the air.
Well, I think, you know, everybody feels that it's quite expensive to retire. I think Las Vegas is a nice place to retire, and I think it's a lifestyle that you want to have. I guess one of your previous, one of the callers mentioned that they don't go out, that or eat out that often. That's a very good plus thing, actually. Mm-hmm. When you go out, what kind of food you eat? If you, you know, you eat some of those junk food, which is not good for you.
Yeah.
You
so, know? Jack, I assume you are retired?
I am semi-retired. I'm 67.
67.
And I'm 67 years old, and I'm enjoying. And I don't think, again, as I say, if you do your shopping very wisely, it's a lifestyle that you can have. And I feel very strongly that we live in a country where there's lots of things that we could do to enjoy life. And it doesn't have to be extravagant. It
doesn't have to be extravagant. Jack, thank you very much for your call. Rick James, you were talking about this a little bit earlier. The expenses were not quite as manifold as you thought they might be. Where were the savings? Where were the things that you don't have to pay for now that you might have had to pay for 10 or 20 years ago?
Well, we found when we lived in New York, the cost of living was much higher. And that was in upstate New York by the Canadian border. We found that the cost of living was much higher. The cost for heating your home during the winter and air conditioning in the summer was much higher. Water was much higher. The cost of insurances were much higher. So when we came out here, we were quite surprised that that we could live on less money than we were using back in New York.
So what are you finding you don't spend money on a daily basis now? You said you don't eat out quite as much.
Well, you know, it's not because we don't want to eat out, and mm-hmm. we can eat out, and it's nothing I have against about eating out. It's just the fact we enjoy eating at home. The less things we spend on that we did back there, I think just basically is taxes and the way we had to supply to keep our home up than we do here.
Our number is 702-258-3552. That's 702-258-3552. We're talking about retirement in Southern Nevada. Shana Steiner, one thing I wanted to ask you about was a little bit of a recent overview of history. Can you explain the shift in attitude in recent years toward Social Security and even things like the calls in the last couple of years or so, particularly to privatize the system?
Well, Social Security is forecasting that they're going to have a shortfall. I think by 2033, they'll only be able to pay out 75% of their promised benefits. So there's been some concern that something's going to have to be done before then, and maybe the government isn't the best person to run it. But at the same time, you know, when we see what happens in 401ks, what happens when individual investors have to take on the responsibility of managing their own investments, you know, that might not be the best solution for Social Security.
Yeah. Now, there is also, I should note, a lot of misinformation out there about Social Security. That date, you know, it'll become insolvent in such and such a year, has really kind of wandered back and forth, I guess, depending on who's doing the talking. And Barry Gold, you work with government relations for AARP. What do you know about the impact of people's perception of the health of the retirement system? I mean, is Social Security just something that people worry about today?
I think people worry about it, but I think there is so much misinformation out there. Social Security is a promise the government made to people, and they need to make sure they keep that promise. Whatever that date is, it's not that it's going to be insolvent. It can only pay out 75% of benefits. However, that's not good enough. AARP's gone all across the country talking to our members and really all Americans about what they think about Social Security and what they'd like to do to see it improved. And there are some minor things that can be done to continue to keep the system paying just like it does right now. However, privatizing it would certainly not accomplish that. So we really need to have a separate debate on the future of Social Security and not include it in any budget deals, which is what they've tried to do in the past. And switching the cost of living increase to something like chain CPI would be a disaster, because what it really does is it cut benefits over time and would cost Social Security beneficiaries thousands of dollars over the course of their lives.
Now, one common criticism has been that we've got many fewer workers paying taxes for benefits like Social Security, and in 20 or 30 years, we may have two people working to pay for every retiree. First of all, is it accurate? And second of all, how does it become sustainable?
Well, I think some of those things you're talking about do affect the future of it, but there are some structural things that people have talked about. When we've talked to our members and older adults and people, they talk about some other things, whether it be the cap on Social Security earnings or other things like that that people might be in favor of that would really extend the system and would be able to make it last a lot longer.
Our number is 702-258-3552. That's 702-258-3552. Do you feel secure with your retirement savings? Does your employer still offer a pension, or are you investing in a 401k or a 403b? We want to hear your story as well. And if you've got some experience with retirement, how did it work out? If you have retired or you're semi-retired, as Jack and many others are, call us and tell us. 702-258-3552 is our number. Next is Kevin in Las Vegas. Kevin, thanks for calling and welcome to the program.
Yeah, Dave, I wanted to find out, what do your folks think is a optimum level, optimum amount that people should save towards for having their 401k?
Shana Steiner, what's your advice to Kevin? What's the optimal amount of money, correct level, percentages, things like that?
Well, if you're if your company offers a match, you want to start by saving at least the amount to capture 100% of the match, and then you want to just maybe increase it 1% every year thereafter, as much as you can. 10% is a good level for somebody who's very young, in their 20s, saving 10% of their income. But as you get older, depending on your level of savings, you may need to ratchet it up. It just depends on where you are with your savings, how many years you have until retirement, and how much money you're going to need in retirement.
So, Kevin, where are you in your savings at this point? Where are you on the road to retirement?
Well, actually, I'm in a good situation. I'm 60, and I've already retired. I had put away money for my 401k, done well with that. I also, like your guest, I had moved from upstate New York and moved out here and found that, yeah, there are a lot of ways, you know, you could save money, you could downsize. The energy costs were a lot lower, you know, for home, for heating, even for travel and gasoline, where you have to get around from place to place. And I was able to leave from my job at 59 and a half and you know, and able to pull in from what I had from 401k. Plus, I did have another an additional pension because I was a reserve. An Army reservist.
So it sounds like it's a pretty good portfolio. Kevin, thank you very much for your call. 702-258-3552. That's 702-258-3552. Cragen is next in Las Vegas. Cragen, welcome to the program.
Thank you, thank you. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thanks.
my question is that, boy, you know, I'm a 41-year-old single parent, and I have recently had to put off my mother's my retirement planning because I've had to take care of my mother. And after seeing her plans for retirement come crumbling down, it's really opened my eyes to, you know, say, boy, I really got to get on the stick and plan for my retirement. But, you know, unfortunately, I have no idea where to start and what the best options are and things like that.
Yeah. So what have you seen with your mother's illness, Craig, and that you're taking notes on? I mean, what are you going to do differently?
Wow, just, you know, as far as, like, maybe the biggest thing I think would be some long-term care insurance to make sure that if I do have to be placed into a nursing home or assisted living facility, that I have something to where I don't have to be forced to go into just a Social Security one. I can go and maybe go to a nicer one or things like that.
Yeah. Now, Barry Gold, Cragen is definitely a member of the sandwich generation. Too young to retire, but he's got to care for parents and may have other family responsibilities as well.
I mean, his situation is so what so many people are dealing with, and AARP is really reaching out not only to people who are retired, people who are looking to retire. If you go to our website, aarp.org/money, there's all these resources and tools and tips. There's retirement planners and budget calculators and Social Security calculators. It really can help you decide how much you need to save and how much your money will last in retirement. We're doing a workshop on June 26th at the Gibson Library that's really about tips and tools for savings and retirement to cover some of those. From listening to the conversation, people need to decide what their retirement's, what they want it to look like, and then start planning for it instead of waiting till they retire, seeing, well, this is how much money I've saved, and letting that dictate it. So if you come to our workshop or you go to our website, there's a lot of tools and tips that you can look for yourself and decide how much do I need to save because what do I want my retirement to look like?
So Shana Steiner, Cragen was talking about long-term care insurance. What's your take on long-term care insurance? Is that a smart investment?
Yeah, it definitely is. It's something that is highly recommended, but you know, getting it can be a little bit difficult. So you want to start fairly young. When you're in your 50s, you should start looking around for a good policy from a highly rated insurance company. You might want to talk to a financial planner and see how they would recommend you go about, you know, insuring against catastrophic things like needing long-term care.
Yeah. Now, Rick and Joanne, you've got kids who've got educations and such, and you're hearing a few things about this and that as far as retirement goes. If you got the microphone now, what are you going to tell the younger next generation? What do you tell the people of your kids' age group, the generation, about retirement? What do they need to know that they don't know yet?
Well, we try to encourage them to plan it, start planning right now to retire. Start putting money away, even if it's a small amount, because it all adds up. That's the biggest thing that we can do, and don't build up bills. You know, watch what you're doing and live within your means. So that's the biggest
thing. Well, I know from my own experience as a young, very foolish spendthrift with a one too many charge cards, that's not easy to do.
It's not easy to do, and they don't always listen.
Don't I know it? How did you know?
My parents went, and Joe's parents both went through the Depression, and it was instilled upon us about this. I guess we were on the tail end of what the effects were. So when we were being brought up, it was instilled upon us is to save, don't go out and just spend money foolishly. And I guess we're just I'm sure Joe was too, is the type of person that listened to that. So that's why when we got married, we didn't have a lot. Our parents didn't have a lot to give us, so we basically had to make it on our own. And that's what we did. We just cut back. We did what we could and worked with it.
Rick James and Joanne James are retired living in Centennial Hills. Barry Gold is Director of Government Relations with AARP in Nevada. And Shana Steiner is an investing analyst with Bankrate.com. Thank you all very much. Really appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.